So we're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount this morning. And those of you who weren't with us last week, we were looking at false prophets. That's what Jesus was speaking about in Matthew 7, speaking about false prophets as wolves in sheep's clothing. And we were thinking about things that look the same, but are actually different. So we had a wee analogy of Pepsi and Coke. They kind of look the same. I think they taste the same. no one threw anything. But they're fundamentally different things. They're different products. And Jesus continues on this similar vein. This morning, thinking about things that look the same, but are fundamentally different. And this is a really tough passage for us in Matthew 7. So to kind of introduce the passage to us, I've got a wee quiz that I want us to do. There's going to be some images of things that look the same but are fundamentally different. And I was just going to have a couple of folks come up, but I want everyone to take part. So if we can have the first image, there are three questions. Okay. Now, one of these is a picture of tangerines. Okay. And I've always been confused by this, but put your hand up if you think the image on the left is an image of tangerines. Okay, the other one isn't. The other one's oranges. Completely different fruit. Keep your hand up. The image on the left, well done, you're correct. So they look the same, but they're different. So the one on the left is tangerine. If we can go to the next slide. So we might be getting a bit harder. Neither of these are tangerines, you would have deduced. One of them is a rabbit, and the other one's a hare. So put your hand up if you think the image on the right is a hare. Well done, well done. Everyone, I think, pretty much got that right. Now, this is the hardest one, all right? If you get this, well done. Chloe really struggled with it. But if you didn't know, I'm an identical twin, and this is my brother and I. So, and I'm not going to hold it against you if you get it wrong much. But put your hand up if you think this dapper wee lad on the left is me, Rory O'Brien. You think it's me? Or is it the cheeky guy on the right who thinks? Right, everyone with their hands up, I love you a little bit more. Not really, well done. Chloe really struggled with that. That was probably the toughest one. But that was just a wee fun way of introducing things that look the same, like my brother and I, but were fundamentally different. And this passage in Matthew 7 is a really challenging, a difficult passage, one of the most difficult passages, I would say, in the whole of Scripture. Let's read it. Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" Lord God, we come before your word, and our prayer this morning is that your word would cut through everything to our hearts. Lord God, that we would be real with you, that we would be honest before you this morning about our lives, about who is the Lord of our lives. Lord God, by your Spirit, grant us humility, that we would know our need, we would know how much we need Jesus, as we've been singing, our Savior and our hope, him alone. Amen. Amen. So these are some really challenging verses for us this morning. There's a wonderful book by Richard Foster, which is called A Celebration of Discipline. And he opens up that book by saying that superficiality is the curse of this age. He says, superficiality is the curse of this age. And as soon as I read that, I thought, yeah, this is, he's onto something. I think that is incredibly true. that so much of the world around us is superficial. You look at media, social media, TV, so much of it is superficial. If you look at how many people are watching reality TV shows, so much of that is just superficial. It's fake, and a lot of the time, they don't even pretend that it's real. It's all so superficial. We live in an age of superficiality. It is everywhere, and part of this is this curse of superficiality is that we spend so much time looking down. We spend so much time looking or trying to look into the minds of others. Yeah, when we're so obsessed with appearance, with image, with how we look, we spend so much time thinking, what do they think about me? Yeah, what are they saying about me? What image am I portraying to others? We spend so much time looking low, looking into the lives, into the minds of others that our eyes can be down. And Jesus is saying through these verses, look up, be real, look up. I think with the age of superficiality and self-innovation and consumerism, that the nation, the West, is spiritually malnourished, is craving and hungering for something deeper than just the superficial. There's a craving and a hunger for more, for deeper relationships with one another. I think that's one of the reasons so many people spend so much time on social media. They want deeper relationships with each other, and ultimately it's a yearning, it's a hunger for deeper relationship with God. And Jesus is getting deeper in these verses. He's being real with us, and Jesus is inviting us to be real with him. And in these verses in Matthew 7 and in the previous verses, Jesus is warning us against the superficial. You know, because how did the false prophet appear? They appeared among the sheep, disguised as the sheep. So superficially, that false prophet looked real. They looked legit. They seemed like the real deal. But when you get deeper, when you look deeper, you could see that they were fake. They were a false prophet. And same as this false disciple, they look real. They say, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. There's an element of devotion and commitment to. They seem committed. They're saying, Lord, Lord, they've done works. You know, they've prophesied, they've cast out demons, they've done many, many miracles, but they're a false disciple. They're fake. I think the next verses in the passage of the Sermon on the Mount is the parable of the two builders, the wise and foolish builder. One builds a house on the rock, the other on the sand. I think that's a really helpful image for us when we're thinking about these verses. If you just look at the house, okay, it was just a house. They only built houses. If you only look at both of these houses, superficially, they look the same. You probably wouldn't have been able to tell which builder built which house. They look the same. But when you get deeper, and when you look deeper into your life, into your heart, when you look deeper at these houses, when you look at the foundation on which these houses were built, they were completely different. One was rock, and it stood when the storm and the rain came tumbling down, and one was sand. And then when the rain fell, that house came crashing down. And I want to repeat this morning, I said this last week, but it's so poignant and comes out through these verses and these analogies that Jesus uses. There is no middle ground. If we can go to the next slide, please. David, there is no middle ground. As Mary said, as we've been singing, Jesus is the only way. He is the life. He is salvation. He is our only hope. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there are two roads, only two roads, one wide. The NLT said it's the highway to hell. It's a huge, broad road, many, many people on it. That is one road, and there is only one other road, which is narrow, and that leads to salvation. There are but two roads, there are but two trees, one good, one bad. There is no third way, there is no other way, there is no other hope apart from Jesus. Don't believe the lies of Satan that tell you all paths lead to the same place. That's not true. Jesus said there is only two roads. There's no middle ground. So if you're not sure this morning where you are, if you've fallen away from faith, if you're worried that person coming to Jesus at the day of judgment saying, "Lord, Lord, I've done all these things." If you're worried that is you, commit or recommit your life to Jesus. Make Him really, truly the Lord of your life. He is the one that you serve. He is the one that you look to. He is the one that you rely on. Nothing, no one else but Jesus. Because we all need Jesus. Put your hand up if you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We need Him. Yeah, we've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's commands. And we need Jesus. We've all fallen short. But God loves you so much. Even though we've fallen short, we've sinned, we've turned our face from Him. God loves you so much. He's made a way for you to be redeemed, for you to be made right. And that's in Jesus. The payment for our sins has been paid for in full by Jesus. Like we were singing there, that price has been paid in Jesus. Is He the Lord of your life? Be real with yourself. Be real with God this morning. Is Jesus truly the Lord of your life? Or is it just you've fallen away and are going through the motions of religion? And if that's you, turn. Turn from your sin. Turn from this world. That's what repent means. It means to turn. If you're walking this way, if you repent, you turn and walk the completely opposite way. You do a 180-degree turn. Turn from your sin. Turn from the world. Turn from whatever is taking precedent above Jesus. And walk the other way, on the other path. Look to Him, rely on Him, make Him truly the Lord of your life. There are only two paths. Are we being real? Are we being honest with ourselves? Look and listen to God. He's brought us here this morning by His grace, that we can hear from His word, that we can hear this warning that Jesus gives to His disciples, so that we would truly have Him as the Lord of our lives. And I invite us all this morning, as we go through this passage, to deeply consider this. There is nothing of greater importance than this. Who is the Lord of your life? Nothing of greater importance. This is a matter of eternity. Because all of us, every single one of us here and outside of here, is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. Every single one of us. Be real with yourself and be real with God this morning. He's calling out to you in grace to look to Him, to rely on Him, to cling to Jesus this morning. If we can go on to the next slide, please. David, so profession is not possession. If I went around constantly professing my love for my wife Chloe, I love Chloe so much. Chloe means everything to me. I love Chloe with my whole life. I love her with my whole heart. I absolutely love Chloe. And I was constantly, very irritatingly so, telling everyone how much I love Chloe. And every now and then, I'll do things for Chloe. That's true. I'll make her a cup of tea. Might not be to her liking. I forget the sugar. I'll do chores around the house once a week. I'll do a chore. Yeah? And she's not asked me to. She's already done that chore, but I'll do a chore. All right? I love Chloe so much. I love her with all my heart, with all I am. I love Chloe. But I never listen to a word she says. Never. Never listen to anything Chloe says, you know? She even writes me down. We notes. Rory, this is what I want you to do, I imagine it would say. But I don't know, I don't listen. She writes me down notes to tell me exactly what she wants me to do. I ignore those notes. I don't read what she has to say to me. I completely ignore her. I don't look at her. I don't rely on her. I don't listen to her. But I love Chloe so much. I love her so much with all my heart, with all I am. You see what I'm getting at? That wasn't true, by the way. No one can eclipse that. Rory said this. Warning, Chloe. You see what I'm saying? That is completely hypocritical. Just because we claim something is true doesn't make it so. Profession is not possession. You know, just because we claim that Jesus is our Lord does not actually make him the Lord of our lives. Okay, you can claim Jesus is Lord, but profession is not possession. When we profess Jesus as Lord without being born again, without being renewed, without a change of heart, without an inward change by God, by His Holy Spirit, then we're just saying words. If we've not been born again, if we've not been changed, if we've not received a new heart, a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, if we've not been raised from death to life, then we're just saying words. Profession is not possession. And we absolutely should profess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. That is a work of God in our lives. But that is just the beginning. Profession does not stand alone. But when we profess and when we mean that Jesus is our Lord, it comes along with a new heart, being born again, being made a new creation by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We are born again. The truth is that not everyone who claims Jesus is Lord means and lives as if Jesus is their Lord. Profession is not possession. It's not enough just to talk about Jesus, just to say the right things. If you say Jesus is Lord, is He really, truly your Lord? Do you obey Him above all else? Do you seek Him above all else? Do you rely on Him above all else? Do you serve Him above all else? Is Jesus really, truly Lord in your life? If we can go on to the next slide. Hearers and doers of God's will. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Hearers and doers of God's will. It's important to say that, and we know we are saved by grace alone. God's Scripture makes that so clear. We could see it all throughout Scripture. And Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 make that perfectly clear. We are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, but as a free gift of God. A free gift of God. We're not saved by our own works, but we're saved by grace. You know, there was a famous theologian who was asked, when is it that you were saved? And he said, 2,000 years ago. And I thought that was a very good answer. You know, he was saved 2,000 years ago. Not that he was super old, but that's when Jesus died for him. That's when the payment for his sin was made. And that's when he was saved. There was nothing he could do to save himself. It is a work of God on the cross, paying for our sins. The work has been done. We have victory in Him. Like we were just singing, and there are other songs that speak about this truth of the gospel. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Built on nothing more than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Christ alone. There is no other way. There is no other path. There are but two. One wide to destruction. One narrow to salvation. And that narrow path, that narrow gate is Christ alone. And the rest of that hymn, how does it go? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Now, I have no idea. I've sung that countless times. I have no idea what a frame is. I don't know what a frame is. Anyone know what a frame is? Nope. What is it? A support. Oh, very good, Les. A support, that makes sense. So we don't trust any other support. We don't trust anything else. We don't rely on anything else. But wholly trust in Jesus' name. Wholly, not partially, not when we feel like it, not on a Sunday, but every day, every moment, we wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, the weak made strong in Jesus' blood. Only those who actually, Jesus said, only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter heaven. Are we doers or are we listeners? Are we doers or are we just hearers? We know the Father's will because he's revealed it to us through his word. God has revealed his will, his purposes, his plan through his word. And Jesus makes clear in John chapter 6, verse 40, the will of my Father is that everyone who looks to Jesus will have eternal life. Everyone who looks to and believes in Jesus will have eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day. Jesus said, that is the will of the Father. That everyone who looks to, okay, so we can't be looking low, we have to raise our eyes, look to the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, Jesus, and believe in that he is our Savior. He is our Lord. That is the will of the Father, that we would look to, that we would know Jesus as the Savior, as the Lord of our life. And Jesus said to those who came to him and said, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name, we've done miracles in your name, cast out demons. He said to them, I never knew you. If you can go on to the next slide. I never knew you. And the Greek words that are used here means that Jesus, not for a second, not for a moment, has known this person. Not that, of course, Jesus didn't know of them. All things have come into being through the word, John 1. God has made all things. So Jesus knows of this person who comes to him, claiming to know him. But Jesus said, I never knew you. I never had any relationship to you. You never looked to me. You never relied on me. You didn't do my Father's will. You didn't seek me. We didn't live in relationship. I never knew you, he said. And Jesus describes these people as those who break God's laws. Other translations say evildoers or workers of lawlessness, which sounds so harsh, doesn't it? Evildoers and workers of lawlessness. It sounds really harsh. But if we think about the words of this person, they're claiming Lord, Lord, as if they know and are devoted to and are committed to Jesus as Lord. But they don't. These aren't just empty words, but these are words of blasphemy. These are blasphemous words. And blasphemy is when you reduce God's holy name and try and make it not holy. When you even use it to curse others. When you try and take down that which is holy and make it not holy. That's what blasphemy is. And I think something far worse than just every now and then flippantly using God's name in vain, something more serious, is a life that is lived constantly using God's name, claiming devotion to, acting as if you're committed to God, but you have no real commitment to God, no relationship with him, no real commitment to him. Professing Christ as Lord, but living a life of unrepentant sin, a life in opposition to God and God's will, that's blasphemy. You know, it's not just words that can just be blasphemy. A whole life can be lived that's blasphemous to God. But the good news of the gospel is that we can be redeemed, that we have redemption, perfect redemption in Jesus. We can go on to the next slide, please, David. In Jesus, as I was saying earlier, we can be born again. We can be made a new creation, Our sins have gone. We'd be perfect forgiveness in Jesus, made a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 sums this up perfectly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. The old things have fallen away. They've passed away. Behold, new things have come. We're a new creation in Jesus. We have fundamentally changed. If Jesus is your Lord and he is your Savior, you're fundamentally changed in him. You're made a new creature. Your spiritual essence has completely changed. You were dead in your sins, and you've been raised to new life in Christ. You've been given a new heart. That which was stone has been made flesh. And with a new heart, we should expect new affections. With a new heart, we have new affections. The old affections have passed away, and we have new ones because Christ has given us a new heart through his Spirit. I remember when, before I came to faith, I loved the world. I loved sin. And when I came to faith, God gave me Godward affections, new affections. Some were immediate, some have taken years, some have still to come. But you have new affections because God, by his Spirit, has given you a new heart. Godward affections. You have love for God. You have love for God's word. You have love for God's people. And before I came to faith, I remember thinking that Christianity is all about doing the righteous things that I hate, that I found boring. And it was all about avoiding the things, the evil things that I loved. That's what I thought Christianity was about. But that's because that was my old heart, my heart of stone, my heart with old affections that loved sin and loved the world. But in Christ, when he is the Lord of our life, you will receive a new heart with new affections, Godward affections. And the worldliness and the sinfulness will start to fall away. And that is a lifelong journey. It will take us our whole lives. But they will begin to fall away, and new affections will appear, and fruit will appear in our lives. But when someone comes to faith or claims to have come to faith in Jesus, and you can only see in them fruit, bad fruit, as Jesus said in the previous verses, fruit of this world, you see no change in affections 5, 10, 15, 20 years after coming to faith, if there are no change in affections, no change of heart, then the chances are they're still dead in their sins and they've not received a new heart. They've not been born again, and Jesus is not truly the Lord of their lives. And if you want a new heart, if you want to be born again and made a new creation, look to Jesus. Fulfill the will of the Father, like Jesus said in John 6. Look to Jesus. Look to God's Son. Rely on him. Not any other reliances, any other sweet frames of this world, not anything else, but make Jesus truly the Lord of your life. Looking to him, relying on him and the work that he has done for you, and you will be made a new creation. For a few minutes before the band come up and we sing our final song, I want us to have some time of self-examination and truly ask ourselves that question: who is the Lord of our lives? Are we being real with God? Or are we just going through the motions of religion? Is Jesus not the Lord of our lives? Ask ourselves these difficult questions that Jesus is asking through these verses. So we'll have a few minutes of silence. Look at your life. What is your position? What is your place before God? And after that, I'll read some of Matthew 7. But let's examine ourselves and our lives right now. Jesus said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gate to life is very narrow, and the road difficult, and only few will find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. True disciples, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds their house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it will not collapse because it's built upon the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds their house upon the sand. When the rain comes and the floods rise and the winds beat against it, the house will collapse with a mighty crash. Let's pray together. Lord God, I pray that we would be real with you this morning, that we would not simply go through the motions and make empty professions, that in our heart we know are lies, that in our heart we know are not true, claiming that you are the Lord of our lives when we're not living as if you are the Lord of our lives. Lord God, help us not to rely on this world, to rely on things of this world, however sweet they might seem. Lord God, lead us not into that temptation, but guard us against it by your Holy Spirit, through one another, Lord God, that we would help each other fix our eyes and focus on you, Lord Jesus, fulfilling the will of our Father, looking to the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, knowing that the victory is won in him, relying on the grace and the power and the strength that we have in you, Lord God, not on ourselves. Amen. Amen. If the band can come and join me. I've got a couple of songs of worship to finish. The prayer ministry teams are available and they'll be down the front. If anyone would like prayer for anything, they would love to pray for you this morning. Lord God, we thank you for revealing to us through your word the depths of your grace for us, the depths of your love for your fallen creation, that we can be made new, we have forgiveness through the precious blood of Jesus, and we can be a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. New love, new affection, new perspective, new life in Jesus. Lord God, I pray that we would be real with you and real with ourselves. If we do not know that new life, that new heart, that new birth, those new affections, that we would come before you, Lord God, that we would, by your Spirit, humbly come before you, admitting our need for you, Lord God. We need you. We are lost on the broad path to destruction without you. Lord God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other path, no other way to salvation.